greet you this morning for the name of Jesus. Blessing to be the house of God again. I invite you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. For a text verse for the message. First Peter 3, verse 9, it says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. I've titled the message this morning, Called to be Blessed. Called to be Blessed. This says here in the latter part of the verse, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Now, this is specifically talking about returning good for evil, about turning the other cheek. But I believe that the fact that we are called to inherit a blessing, that we are called to be blessed, applies to a lot of different areas in our lives, not just in the thing of turning the other cheek. Yes, that a lot of times that brings about a blessing, that God can bless us when we do turn the other cheek. When we do return good for evil, God blesses that when we do that, or we get the blessing when we do that, as God works through us, through His Spirit. But there are a lot of other areas that God blesses us in. Our God is a God that desires to bless His children, His people. So this morning, the question would be, do you believe that God has called His people to be blessed? How many of you believe that? That's pretty easy to believe. What about how many of you believe that God has called you, and specifically you, to be blessed? Do you believe that? Okay, that's maybe a little harder to believe. Well, thank you for that. If we look at this chapter 3, it is a continuation of chapters 1 and 2 of 1 Peter. In chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, he tells us of the blessing that God has given to us. He says that we know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. In other words, we had to be redeemed because of the human nature that we have within us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we weren't redeemed from that by money. It cannot be bought, that redemption. But it says in verse 19, it was that redemption was purchased with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That is our God in the blessing business. You know, when Jesus was put on the cross, Jesus was crucified, his disciples, the people that loved him, did not see that as a blessing at the time. But later, I think most of them, probably all of them, realized the blessing that came about because of Jesus having been crucified. Had he not have been crucified and died, he could not have rose from the dead. His blood would not have been shed for our redemption. There are many people who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Sadly, there are many more who have not. A part of that blessing is in verse 23, where it says that we can be born again. Not of corruptible seed, not of this seed of Adam, but of the seed of Christ, the incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And in John chapter 1, it tells us that the word is Christ, is Jesus Christ. The word was with God, and the word was God. We'll just skip through here a little bit in these first two chapters. It says in verse 9, another blessing, now because of the finished work of the cross, because of having been redeemed, he says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So because of that, there's another blessing that we can now be separated. We can now be called out to be God's people, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, called out of darkness into the light of Jesus Christ, out of darkness into light. And God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And I'd like to back up just a little bit and refer back to the last two messages that I preached several weeks ago. It was, or a month ago probably, or better, it was about the heart of man. The heart of man being deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the antidote for that is to surrender to God, to the will of God. First of all, we must recognize that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then we must recognize our need of a Savior, of Jesus Christ and his blood for our cleansing, our salvation. And we surrender to God in obedience to that. And then as we do that, we recognize that our God is in the blessing business, that we are called to be blessed. You know, as we surrender to God, as we are born again, we become a part of the family of God. I don't understand the work of regeneration that God does when a person is born again and God puts a part of himself in us, his children. But we become a part of the family of God. And as a child of God, we are called to be blessed. He goes on and he gives us some instruction in chapter 3 concerning the way we should live, the way we should relate to one another as married people and as church people. I'd like to read the first 15 verses of chapter 3. In verse 1, he says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." So, you sisters, when you look at that, God is calling you to be in subjection and submission to your husband. So, why does God ask you to do that? Because God wants to bless you. God has established an order where Jesus Christ is ahead, the man is underneath Jesus Christ, and then the woman is to be called to be in submission and subjection to the man. And when you come and surrender your life to God in that way, God can bless you. For you single ladies, when you surrender to the head in your life, your dad or whoever your spiritual head is, God blesses you as well for yielding to that headship order that God has established. So God is doing that not to make life miserable for you, but to bless you. God is in the blessing business, and you are called to be blessed. He says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." So for us husbands, we are called to love our wives, to give honor to them as unto the weaker vessel. God is not doing that to make us miserable. God is doing that to bless us. God is asking us to be in subjection and submission to Jesus Christ as our head, to yield our lives 100% to him so that he can bless us, not to make us miserable. There's a scripture in 1 John 5, I think it is, where it talks about doing the commandments of God, and he says that his commandments are not grievous, but that he lights our burden to us, as Robert read this morning, the last part of Matthew chapter 11. In verse 8, he goes on and he speaks to all of us. He says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So all these things that God is asking us to do here is because God wants to bless us. You know, God is not doing this to make life hard for us. He is not asking us to be of one mind, to have compassion for others, to love as brethren, to be pitiful, to be courteous, or to return good for evil. God is not asking us to do that to inflict pain or some punishment on us. He is asking us to do that because we are called to be blessed as his children. He wants us to walk as Jesus walked. And it says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Robert talked this morning about making us clean. You know, there's no way that you or I can make ourselves clean. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can be clean. So when we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, of the seed of Jesus Christ, that is when we become justified. That is when we become clean, and that is when we receive the blessing of the eyes of the Lord being over us, as it says there in verse 12. And his ears are open to our prayers. When we cry out to God, then God hears us. God hears that prayer when we cry out to him. But it says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Those who reject the blessing that God has offered, the blessing of redemption through Jesus Christ and his blood, When we reject that, it says that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So, as you look at being called to be blessed, you know, maybe you struggle with that thought of you being good enough to be blessed by God. Do you believe that you can be good enough that you would deserve to be blessed by God? Absolutely not. You will never be good enough that you deserve to be blessed by God. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross. But you know, we struggle with that thing of feeling like I just can't be good enough. Or I do. Maybe you don't, but I do. Struggle with the thing of feeling that, you know, I just can't be good enough. That God just can't accept me. And we never can be good enough on our own. You know, that's what the Pharisee was trying to do when he was in the temple. And he prayed and he thanked God that he's not as the other men. He did all these things. He was trying to be good enough. But the Bible says that those things are filthy rags that we offer to God. The publican received a blessing because he recognized his heart for what it was, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He recognized his need of who he is. Undone before God, I have nothing to offer. I cannot be good enough. I just cry out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it says he went to his house justified. He was freed from the sin that stood against him, that was between him and God, because he realized he couldn't be good enough. And he accepted God's mercy and grace and forgiveness. In Luke 12:32, it says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And in one place, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. It is your Father, your heavenly Father's good pleasure Remember, he is in the blessing business. It is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that kingdom of God is within you. I don't understand all that. But that is what the Bible says. And this was spoken immediately after Jesus had said that they should seek the kingdom of God rather than material possessions. I would like to draw some illustrations or lessons from the story of Esau and Jacob. In Genesis chapter 25, I want to read verses 27 through 34. This was immediately after the birth of Esau and Jacob. It says, "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Now let's look at Genesis chapter 27. This speaks more of this birthright thing. The first 41 verses. In verse 1, it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, "My son." And he said unto him, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, 'Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death.' Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. His mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed." Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise, and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless thee, bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn son, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained thee, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. So here we see in the first part of this chapter, when Isaac was old, he called Esau and he told him to go out and to kill a deer, to bring the venison to him, that he could eat of that, and then he would bless him. And we notice the obedience of Esau, how he went out and he did that. And I was trying to fathom that, of how all this was. Did Esau do this just because he wanted a blessing, or did he do this because he actually loved Isaac? And I would like to apply that spiritually. We don't necessarily know Esau's heart, but we sometimes maybe we know our own heart. You know, when we, as children of God, we want God's blessing. And when God asks us to do something, do we do it because we want to be blessed or because we love God? And I think there's a difference there. In the last part, last verse of chapter 25, it says, the last phrase, it says, Thus Esau despised his birthright. I think there is a significance to that. If you look at Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us that Esau could not get his birthright back, though he sought it carefully with tears. He did not find repentance. He was rejected, and he found no repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And I was thinking of that in, you know, we want to be blessed. Esau wanted to be blessed, but he had sold his birthright. So what, as Christians, as children of God, what is our birthright? In verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. And this is talking about spiritual words that God would be speaking to us, where Jesus Christ speaks to us, or the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Our spiritual birthright, I believe that is something that we should cherish. Esau, it says he despised his birthright. And when Esau wanted his birthright back, it says that he could find no repentance. He was rejected, and he could not find it, though he sought it carefully and with tears. And I would like to liken that to a person who has either never been born again, and he rejected the birthright that he had through Jesus Christ, a right to become a child of God, a son or daughter of God, and he or she rejected that because they wanted to do their own thing. Or a person who has been born again, who has been a part of the family of God, but at some point in time has turned bitter against God and has rejected the birthright, despised it. And now they are at a point where they're dead, as in this life, and it's too late. And we notice what Esau did when he came to the realization that the blessing was gone as well, along with the birthright, which was rightly so in the Old Testament, that the blessing always normally went to the firstborn. So it rightly belonged to Esau, but Esau had sold his birthright, so therefore the blessing also went to Jacob, who was now the firstborn, if you will, in that sense, because he now owned the birthright. That was how lightly Esau esteemed his father's blessing. So that is what makes me think that maybe Esau really did not love Isaac. He just wanted the blessing. And how many times do I find myself in that way? I am called to be blessed, but I just want God's blessing. I don't really love the Father. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. When the Spirit of God convicts you, and let's go back a little bit to that thing of cleansing. When, you know, the publican, when he prayed in the temple, it says that he went down to his house justified. A person that is justified is freed from all blame or guilt. He stands before God innocent. That is the complete work that happens when a person is born again. But then, as we walk with God, as we abide in Jesus Christ, as we walk with God, there are times that we fail, with times we make mistakes. There may be areas of our life that are still pretty rough, that need to be polished. That is sanctification. So as we come to areas that need sanctification, and God speaks to us, and God says, son or daughter, you know, you have this area in your life that maybe you are keeping back from me, that I want to polish, I want to work on, I want to clean that up for you. But God is asking us to surrender that area of our life to him, whatever it may be, so that he can bless that. Because I think there is nothing that robs a Christian of more blessing than an unsurrendered life. A life that is not completely committed and submitted to God. You know, when I hold parts of my life, parts of my heart and things that I want to do, and I keep that back from God, that is a blessing robber for me. What God is wanting of us, of his children, is a complete surrender so that he can give his full blessing in everything, in every area of our life. That there should be nothing that I would not be willing to do for my Savior. Not because I want the blessing, but because I love him. The Bible says in Romans 8, verses 15 through 17, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You know, maybe a lot of times the thing that keeps us from giving up areas of our life is the spirit of fear, that spirit of bondage. that I'm afraid that if I yield that thing to God, that God will take me in a direction I don't want to go. Or maybe God will bring me to a point of, you know, where things get revealed to my brothers and sisters to where I'm embarrassed. You know, whatever it is, that needs to be brought at the feet of Jesus and be surrendered to Him. He says that if we are children, then we're heirs of God and we are joint heirs with Christ. I'd like to look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. He says, Jesus says here, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" So here it is telling us that God wants us to ask. God wants us to be blessed. Just like us fathers, we want our children to experience good things in life. You know, when we as parents make rules in our homes, I think most always we do that because we love our children. We want what's best for them. We're not doing it to withhold something from them, but we're doing it because we love them and we want what's best for them. You know, and if we don't make rules and we don't have order, then we probably don't love God as we should, and we don't love our children as we should either. So if any of our children come to us and ask for something to eat, you know, we're not going to give them a stone, a rock, and say, "Eat rocks." You know, we know that doesn't work. You know, when you hear confirming scriptures like this, do you believe that you are called to be blessed? Do you believe that your Heavenly Father delights in you as His child? Someone has said, I recently heard in a message somewhere, that the minute we wake up every morning, the devil is right there, you know, just pounding us with his lies. Lies of negativity. Lies of worthlessness. Etc. And, it, you know, it could be lies of pride. Of thinking that, you know, I don't need God. At any rate, the devil is out there seeking to rob you of your blessing. You are called to be blessed. And the devil wants to rob you of that blessing because he doesn't want God to work through you effectively. He wants to render the Spirit of God ineffective in your life. Brother Robert read that scripture this morning, to resist the devil and he will flee from you. He says to submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Remember that you are God's child. You are complete in Jesus Christ. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you felt discouraged and weighed down and negative thinking in your mind, and you rebuked the devil and it was like a load was lifted off your shoulders? You know, here some time ago I experienced that. Cherish your spiritual birthright. Don't be afraid to tell the devil who you are in Jesus Christ. As it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Do you believe that you are accepted in Jesus Christ? You know, the devil would like for you to believe that you are not. He wants you to believe that you can never be good enough, that you'll never make it, that there is no way out. He wants you to give up. But when he is rebuked in the name of Jesus Christ, he has to flee. That is the word of God. You are called to be blessed. Remember that. Never let go of that. It says in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." You can't be good enough, but you are saved through faith. By grace, through faith. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You know, I don't know how we can come to the point of always loving God as we should love God, so that we can do the things in the workmanship and not as in good works to try to be saved. But I know that God knows, and God understands that. And God is in the blessing business. You are called to be blessed as a child of God. I'd like to close with this verse in Revelation 22, verse 14. He says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." And that is the culmination of God's blessing. That is the ultimate. To enter into the gates of that city, the heavenly Jerusalem, a new Jerusalem, to see Jesus Christ, to fall at his feet, to take of the tree of life and to eat of that fruit and not be condemned for it. They may have right to the tree of life. You know, God did not want Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of life in the garden because of the state that they were in after they disobeyed and they were fallen from grace. You know, this would be a terrible state to be in and live like this forever. But when this mortal puts on immortality, when we are changed, as the Bible says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we enter into that new Jerusalem, that will be the ultimate blessing, to be in the presence of God, of Jesus Christ, and to know that it was not me, but it was Christ. It was his blood that made that possible. I could not bring that about. You are called to be blessed. Let's kneel and pray.